I'm not sure how much you've interacted with healthcare professionals or people in the healthcare services in general. I've talked to a number of people over the years who worked as emergency responders, basically as paramedics, and they always have amazing stories to tell. I mean, pretty gruesome ones sometimes, and some funny ones too. Well, funny in a sort of macabre way. Example of that being people in the United States being so obese they can't fit in the ambulance, that sort of thing. As well as some scarier stories where the person, the patient at risk of passing away, literally tries to attack the paramedic. But it's interesting because all these health professionals, if you observe them over time, what happens with them is that there is this blunting effect. So they begin oftentimes with a sense of duty and compassion. They want to help people and help the world and this sort of thing. And then after a certain amount of time has passed, it doesn't even need to be that long, it'd be a year, two, sometimes even less, they start becoming numb. They start becoming blunted to the whole experience. And I've talked to a number of healthcare professionals, whether it's paramedics or other people, for example, people work in old age homes, another example, right? And if you can catch them in a candid moment, they'll level with you. So for example, I used to know this paramedic, pretty interesting story. But he was a paramedic for, I don't know, a dozen, 15 years. But he was also honest. He said that he didn't really give a crap about the people he was treating. It was just a job. He felt nothing for them. And he was honest about it. Now, at the same time, what was interesting about this guy was that he was also a hobby or amateur theater actor. And specifically, he specialized in Shakespeare, of all things, which is kind of funny if you think about it. And he told me that he would actively apply his acting skills that he picked up at theater to his job. Because during those many years working as a paramedic, he had completely become numb to sensations of compassion and just feeling anything for the patients at all as human beings. And so he would apply his Shakespearean riz, if you will, and he'd make it seem like he actually cared, and it came in handy, he said. Another instance of some guy I knew that I talked to was a guy who worked in an old age home, and he just explained to me that essentially death and people passing away just didn't matter to him anymore. He just became totally blunted to everything. And you don't need to actually engage with healthcare professionals to get that feeling. I think if you've lived long enough, you've gotten sick at some point in time, maybe injured, you need an operation, spent some time in a hospital. I remember a while back, I had an inguinal hernia, not that uncommon. A lot of men get hernias in the course of their life. But anyway, after it was operated on and it was sort of stapled together, you had the doctors passing through the hospital and, you know, it was like a checklist basically, and they tick it off. And I was patient number whatever. And then they don't actually talk about you as a human being. They just talk about the procedure, how it went, and sort of the condition with respect to the operation. And I've seen this with other operations as well. And on top of that, I've just seen healthcare professionals, nurses, doctors, and how they act in hospitals and how they treat patients and deal with patients. And all of the humanity is basically gone for the most part, right? I mean, they might try to feign it in some cases, like the guy who was a paramedic, you know, he was a Shakespearean hobby actor. And so he tried to put a bit of spin on it. But basically, there's a certain irony and contradiction, maybe paradox, if you will, that when you work in these professions, you, over time, sort of wither away internally. You just stop caring about people, broadly speaking. And when you get these people to level with you, they're honestly, well, it's just a job, you know, or my ability to sort of feel for human beings has evaporated, right? And to be honest, I don't think that is exceptional. I think that's basically the norm, yeah? Because in that situation, it's a trap between a rock and a hard place. If you did theoretically care about everything and everyone, you're going to be in a real pickle. It could easily affect and influence your ability to make decisions cognitively, your ability to sort of follow through on things in an efficient manner. And you hear testimonies along these lines. I mean, I remember listening to a testimony of a brain surgeon who was actually operating on a friend, and he said something to the effect of, I was really concerned, I was worried about this person, but I could only operate once I set those things aside. You have to look at the patient as a slab of meat, basically. There's no other option. The alternative, of course, is I would reckon something along the lines of PTSD, like actual post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not talking about the left-wing variant that's popped up over the last decade or so, but you know, soldiers who've seen absolutely horrific things during war and that sort of thing, who just can't deal with it, just can't stomach it. And understandably, I think a lot of us wouldn't be able to stomach it or deal with it either. So you basically just become blunted to it all. It's just a process of indifference. Now, that's not entirely true of all of them, I imagine, but that generally speaking is the trend. If you observe it, you've seen it, interacted with these people, been at the receiving end of being just a piece of meat, and we all have if you've been in the hospital before, that is how it is. So where am I going with this? This applies to things outside of the medical healthcare professions, and it applies more broadly to the current state of human social life, human life in general, online existence. But on top of the things I've mentioned, this ability to sort of shut down and shut things out of your purview so you might better function and basically so you can just continue to exist without losing your mind, there's another added element to this, and that's called Dunbar's number. Now, those of you who've been with me for a long time, going way back, like 10 years, 12 years, know that I've talked about Dunbar's number before. Dunbar, Robin Dunbar, is an anthropologist who way back in the day, I think 1990 or something, proposed this number of about 150 as a hypothetical number for the maximum number of people you can actually care about in your life and have some kind of meaningful relationship with to varying degrees, right? There are also layers to this, obviously, like 5 people that you'd be closest to and then 15 that you're less close to, this sort of thing. But in theory, at least, and it doesn't even need to be 150, it'd be 100, 200, doesn't really matter. What Dunbar is saying is humans, cognitively speaking, emotionally speaking, can only connect to so many other people in a way that actually matters. Maybe a trauma surgeon or, for example, someone working as a paramedic who day in, day out is seeing horrific things. I mean, not only do you get blunted to the actual experience, but if you've seen, you know, thousands of patients or during your job, there's no way, A, in the small amount of time you know the people, but also B, just due to the sheer inability to connect with that many people, you can ever form some kind of actual bond with them, right? It's not possible. And I think Dunbar's number plays pretty strongly into this because you have this push and pull between A, becoming numb to it all, and B, just cognitively speaking, not being able to care about that many people, this push and pull effect, and eventually you just end up sort of not giving a damn at all. Now, how does this relate to the broader social landscape? Well, it's not just hospitals and ambulances where this is taking place. I think through this technology we've created, the internet, and how we interact with each other, primarily online these days, much more so than IRL, we have effectively replicated the hospital, but writ large. We've replicated the hospital environment in a sense because you encounter on a daily basis, potentially thousands, maybe millions of people that you could never connect with for all sorts of reasons. It's because you wouldn't get along with them in the first place, but also just because they're internet specters. They're internet specters. They have nothing other than some text that they write. Maybe you hear a lone voice in a VC someplace, that sort of thing. And so there's no way, due to the sheer numbers, you can actually connect with all these people. And then you get overwhelmed by things like the algorithm, and you hear even more voices and see even more people. And essentially, in the case of the internet, you have this combination, maybe a wombo combo, if you wish to call it such, of things I mentioned. It's kind of becoming blunted to just human experience in general because it's also tedious at times. It's also repetitious. It's like you've seen it a million times before. This definitely happens with, say, YouTube content, just content in general. You've been there, you've done that, there's nothing new under the sun. Then you encounter the problem that it's really hard to form meaningful friendships, relationships with people online in general because, well, it's just online. And that's just the sheer numbers. And this leads, through this wombo combo effect, to just a sense of apathy, but more importantly, a sense of isolation and loneliness. People, you know, beat the war drums a lot about this sort of loneliness crisis and it's an epidemic, but I don't think the analysis they're offering is particularly good all the time. I think, as always, it goes back to something fundamental to human nature. And the way we've been living for quite some time now is, well, to be blunt, not exactly perfectly harmonious with that nature. In fact, it stands quite in contrast, in opposition to that. I've talked about this a million times, but, you know, maladaptation. Well, welcome to the world as it exists now, a world, an entire landscape of mass maladaptation, whether it's the internet, whether it's hospitals, all of these things. We were never meant, and by meant I mean our cognitive abilities, obviously. I don't mean in some sort of divine sense, but we were never meant to deal with this many people. And the anonymity of it all adds to that layer. I mean, it's, again, analogous to the hospital or the ambulance. You don't really know the person. You might see them briefly, but it's also a kind of anonymous experience. And what happens is we just become blunted. We lose our capacity for compassion. We stop caring in general and become ever more isolated. And this is a case, as it often is, unfortunately, of the genie having been let out of the bottle, toothpaste out of the tube, you know, pick your analogy, whatever. There's no way to really return to that former state of close-knit community where people could actually exercise a sense of concern and care for individuals involved. Now, there are obviously some people that still live in that existence, even in the West, right? But it is comparatively rare. And so when we talk about things like the loneliness crisis, the loneliness epidemic, I think it's important to get the analysis right. I mean, sure, people are online a lot, but what effect does it have and how does it relate to our ultimate nature? Seems simple, right? Now, get offline, head out and form or build communities, be part of a community. A lot easier said than done, as is often the case. And most people feel dependent on this technology now. I mean, they literally cannot do certain things without this technology. And then it becomes a case of resisting the temptation, right? Maybe they want to limit their use of the internet, limit their use of Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or whatever it might be, whatever platform. But the temptation is always there. It's basically like someone trying to do a diet and you're just dangling cannolis and chocolate cake in front of them 24/7, which obviously is going to make the diet a lot harder, especially if the person has a sweet tooth. So most people are going to fail that diet because pastries are always there, just like the internet is always there. Most people cannot limit themselves to a certain thing, a very limited amount of accessories and functions, if you will, online. And I actually have a friend who every month takes an entire week off from the internet, a whole week off, just to sort of purify his mind and sort of get away from the insanity. You could do that, but invariably you get drawn back into the whirlpool, the vortex, the eddy of insanity. Again, we're caught between a rock and a hard place. And there just is no easy way out, to quote Robert Tepper from Rocky IV, you know, the famous song, No Easy Way Out. But there's no easy way out. We're running too many algorithms on our own mind and then externally on YouTube that run counter to our own nature in terms of our ability to feel maximally content and get along with people. And it is what it is, to use the famous phrase. But people, I don't think, often enough realize what lies at the heart of this. And it's just something that we have not co-evolved with, and it leads, unfortunately, to these results. Now, am I saying that we want to do without hospitals, paramedics, and the internet? No. As I think, on balance, the benefits that most of these things bring, especially hospitals and paramedics and what have you, they outweigh the negatives. Even if people become numb and blunted to existence and human beings. The internet, of course, is a more questionable thing, but we just have to roll with the punches at the end of the day. But as always, thank you for tuning in. Many special thanks to my very generous patrons on Patreon and my generous donors on PayPal. You guys are the best. Without you, this channel simply could not exist. So thank you so much. I'm ever appreciative. And if you can engage in the usual YouTube jazz of liking the video, sharing the video, hitting the bell icon, leaving a comment, hopefully it helps. I think I'm quite shadow banned on YouTube, to be honest. The views are just not the way they used to be, but it still helps, so much appreciated. If I'm still alive, I'll check you out next time. Until then, may the gods truly watch over you. Goodbye for now. If you liked this video, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you enjoy my content, please consider making a donation or becoming a patron. Thanks for watching.